So Grace Baptist Church, for years now, many, many years, has been a member of an organization called FIRE, the Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals. You can see it on the emblem up there, the FIRE emblem, the Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals. And every year, and I'll say a little bit more about this in a second, but every year there's at least a international conference. We used to call it the National Conference, but now it's the International Conference, I think, because we had one in Ontario or somewhere one time. But that church is no longer even in FIRE, so I think we'll be having our national conferences. And this year, as I said before, it was down in Rowlett, Texas, and the theme of the conference, as you can see from the emblem there, is Living Life in God's Spirit. We get a little booklet like this, and the little booklet's so helpful. In the booklet, we have all of our church reports. Like, for example, we send in a church report that all the members of FIRE will read, and then those church reports will be given publicly. I mean, there's a guy sitting there with a timer on his phone and an iPad, and it starts off green, and then it goes red when you get to your 3 minutes, right? And then there's a guy sitting behind him with a bell. They only had to use the bell twice this week because everybody's trying to give a church report. We're trying to give a report of our churches to the fellowship of churches. There's preaching. This year, with this theme, Living Life in God's Spirit, there were five messages, excellent messages, brought from Romans chapter 8. At the beginning of each one of those messages, the entirety of Romans 8 was read. One of the FIRE pastors would stand up and read Romans 8, 1 through 39 in its entirety. One time it was this Scotsman with his thick Scottish rogue. He's a pastor in Riverside, California now. And then another time Paul Terrell's pastor, Russell's brother. Russell's brother is an elder in a FIRE church in the Dallas area. And George Klein stood up and read Romans 8 with his deep George Klein voice. It was wonderful. And then one of the men, one of the FIRE pastors, would preach a message on one of the one of my favorite words I learned from Rob Spinney. One of the pastors would stand up and preach a message from one of the pericopes, one of those sections of Romans 8, like 1 through 11, 12 through 15, something like that. They would each preach a message. Most of the guys that preached were actual FIRE pastors from Texas. The one exception was Rick Anderson, who's been here at our church before. It's been a long time, but Pastor Rick Anderson from Oxnard, California. So we went to the conference, had great fellowship. I want to just show another slide this morning because I'm trying to do sort of a conference report, and also because it's been so long since we've publicly talked about FIRE. Some of you, of course, are veteran members. You're well aware of the fact that we are a part of FIRE, but we don't talk about it a lot. I'd say we don't talk about it enough, more than likely. And then some of you newer members or visitors, of course, don't have any idea that our church is not just a singular lone church here in Trousdale County. Our church is part of a loose network of churches that are all over the country and in several, all over the United States and in several foreign countries as well. So I wanted to sort of go through the name FIRE because all the letters stand for something. So first of all, the F, fellowship. FIRE is a fellowship of churches. And FIRE is a fellowship of ministries where we have fellowship in missions, right? So when you hear us pray on Wednesday night for our missionaries, and you hear us talk about Charles Woodrow, FIRE member. When you hear us talk about David Barcelo, FIRE member. When you hear us talk about Trevor Johnson, FIRE member. He's not one of the members that we, but it's a fellowship of ministry. So it's a fellowship of missions where these churches are working together to support these individuals. If you look up in our handbook, you're going to see a missions report from David Barcelo. You're going to see a missions report from Charles Woodrow. Had they been in the States, they would have stood up and given those missions reports, because they're an integral part of the fellowship of FIRE as it pertains to missions. FIRE is a fellowship of ministries in the sense that there are camps, various meetings. For example, this Robert Elliott, this guy that I was telling you about in Riverside, California, the Scotsman, he has a great church there in Southern California. And in June, their church is hosting a camp for young people, maybe some of our young people. Should think about going. He announced it there. It's an annual thing that maybe some of our young people should think about going to this youth camp out there in California. And there'll be young people from FIRE churches all around the country. And so that's how it's a fellowship of ministries. Grace Baptist Church is a richer congregation because we're a member of the Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals. We have men and pastors and churches that we can be in contact with. We have men and churches and pastors that we can, talk with and have communication with. We're way overdue here at Grace Baptist to have a FIRE pastor come and be one of our speakers. We've had them in the past, people like Jim Neuheiser, Rick Anderson, Dean Olive. All those men are men that have been to our church, and they're FIRE pastors. But we're way overdue to have that kind of connection with other FIRE pastors in our fellowship. But we are richer for it in more than one sense. Last week, sitting just behind Adam, about two or three rows back, there was a family from Illinois. And I got a telephone call on Saturday from this family. This guy saying, "We're members of this FIRE church just up near St. Louis, and we're passing through, we're on vacation, and we'd love to fellowship with your church tomorrow." Because they know that even though they've come from the St. Louis area, here where they were going to be vacationing, there was a church, a like-minded church, like-minded in doctrine, like-minded in practice. And invariably, when we have one of those families come through, they'll say something like this when they leave: "Felt like home. Felt just like home." And let me encourage you too. I'll give you the FIRE website in just a few moments, but let me encourage us also, when we're away on vacation, traveling, make the effort. I know you're going to be in church more than likely, and sometimes it's just not convenient because there aren't FIRE churches on every corner by any means, but at least make the effort when you're going to be going somewhere, passing through somewhere, to say, "What was that website again?" Because we want to look and make sure that we can possibly be in a FIRE church on the Lord's Day. That's just a way that we're richer for doing that, because we have that sort of networking. So fellowship of churches and ministries, and then the I in FIRE stands for independent. It's a fellowship of independent churches. And FIRE is not a formal association. It's not a formal denomination. It doesn't have a hierarchy of leadership. In FIRE, there's no paid leader, there's no central office, there's no paid staff in FIRE. It's truly a fellowship of independent churches. Now, in FIRE, there is a constitution. Obviously, there has to be a constitution and rules for what it means to be a member and how one becomes a member, and, for example, to remain active. In active member status, one has to attend a church, or an individual member has to attend a FIRE National Conference or a FIRE Regional Conference at least once every 3 years. So that's very doable. Now, I think, and Carol, you correct me on this, since we've been members of FIRE for going on more than 15 years, we've never missed either a regional or an international conference. Because just like we want to encourage our church membership to be an active membership, and not to be hypocritical, if we're going to be members of FIRE, then we want to be an active church in FIRE as well. We want to be right in the thick of things. So there's a constitution to guide membership and all those kinds of things. There is a board that offers basic oversight. Yours truly serves on that board. I've been on that board now for about 4 years. I have another term coming up on the board. I think I roll off next year off the board, and then could be up for one more. Usually a term on the board is 2 years, and it can be up to, or two terms and up to three terms. And I'm closing out my second term on the board. The board meets about four times a year, three times on the phone, or two times on the phone, quarterly. You know, there's some of you know that trip that I take to San Diego. When is that trip normally? February-ish. There's a face-to-face board meeting in February. And then there's a face-to-face board meeting at the National Conference before the fire business meeting. So there is that. But each church in fire is independent. Each church is autonomous. There's no board of directors or hierarchy overlooking the and telling the fire churches what to wear to church or what version of the Bible to use or any of those kinds of things. So independent, a fellowship of independent. And then R, a fellowship of independent reformed. We're a reformed Baptist church. All the churches in fire are reformed and Baptist. All the churches in fire are credo Baptist, not, this is not Presbyterians. I mean, there are organizations for those brothers, and we're glad for those, but that's not what fire is. Fire is a fellowship of reformed Baptist churches. All the members of fire hold some a little more, well, I'd like to say it this way. People used to characterize fire as being loose. And they would look at other Reformed Baptist organizations like ARBCA, for example, that our church used to be a part of. Now, we're not any longer a part of ARBCA. ARBCA basically has or is in the process of sort of self-destructing. It's just been a real sad state of affairs to watch. And we're not a part of that. But fire used to be characterized as loose, and organizations like that as tight. Not a fair characterization at all. The members of fire are going to hold to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith like we do. Now, they may have real serious questions about the Pope being the Antichrist, or they may have some real serious questions about those kinds of things, right? And some are going to hold more tightly to that than others. But when you compare fire to the broad evangelical world out there, there's nothing about fire that's loose. Compared to other reformed organizations, the characterization would be tight and tighter. The churches in fire are all self, what's the word I'm looking for? Self-identifying as being Reformed Baptist. So that's a good thing. They're going to hold to the solus, like we have out in the foyer. They're going to hold to sola scriptura, solus Christus, sola fide, sola gratia, soli Deo gloria. They're all going to hold to the solus. They're going to hold strictly to TULIP, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. They're going to hold to those things unapologetically as churches and the leadership of those churches. And then finally, fire is the fellowship of independent reformed evangelicals. I want to just adjust my cursor here just a little bit for my notes. Find my cursor. Sometimes it wants to run away from me. There it is. All right. So we think about evangelical. That's a term we don't hear every day. But it's an important term. It's a very descriptive term of certain Christians in the world today. You are an evangelical. Broadly speaking, think about two really, really big boxes. The box of Roman Catholicism and the box of Protestantism. to really, really huge boxes. To say that I'm an evangelical means I'm not in the Roman Catholic box, but I am in the Protestant box. Because to be a Protestant means I'm just not of the Roman Catholic Church or of the Roman Catholic faith. So all evangelicals are Protestants, but not all Protestants are evangelicals. So we're in this big box of Protestants, but in that box we're in a subcategory in a church like ours and in churches in fire that are evangelical. Basically, it means we are Bible-believing, Christ-centered churches. We're going to hold to the blood. We're going to hold to the inerrancy of Scripture. We're going to hold to the infallibility of Scripture. We're going to hold to the inspiration of Scripture. The Bible is God's authoritative word. It's not a book of myths or stories. It's the infallible, inspired, and inerrant, meaning there are no errors in it. It's infallible. It can't fail. It's inspired by God. It's His word to His people. J.I. Packer many years ago gave some 6 distinctives of evangelicalism. So I want to share these with you this morning just briefly to show you why in fire we are a fellowship of independent reformed evangelicals. Packer gave these 6 distinctives of what it means to be an evangelical. Number one, to be an evangelical is to hold to the supreme authority of Scripture for knowledge of God and as a guide to Christian living. 2, a distinctive of evangelicalism is the majesty of Jesus Christ as incarnate God and Lord, the Savior of sinful humanity. Jesus wasn't just a good man who came to show us how to live good lives. Son of God, God, we hold to the majesty, the lordship, the authority of Christ as our Savior and our Lord, as the Son of God. He came, He lived, He died, He rose, He's ascended on high. 3, we hold to the lordship of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we can't just live in the flesh and the deeds of the flesh and the ways of the flesh. We're going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into the ways of God's Word, into holiness. 4, evangelicals would hold to the need for personal conversion, the need for regeneration, being born again. Nicodemus, you must be born again. So it's not a social gospel. A lot in Protestantism would sort of be a social gospel. No, a need to be born again. 5 distinctive of being an evangelical is the priority for both individual Christians and for the church as a whole to do evangelism and missions, to carry this distinctive message of salvation alone and Christ alone to the nations. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing to go to an impoverished nation and dig a well where people don't have water. That is a great, great, great thing. It's a great, great, great thing what Charles Woodrow is doing to provide medical help. But really, as evangelicals, we understand just to provide water alone without the gospel makes people have their thirst quenched and sends them on to hell. But we hold to the personal need for individuals and as Christians to take the gospel to the nations. The 6th thing that Packer mentioned was the importance of Christian community for spiritual nourishment, fellowship, and growth. In other words, the centrality of the local church. So that's what it means when we say fire is a fellowship of independent, reformed evangelicals. Fire also, just some other facts about fire. Right now, we broke a record this year, broke the plane of going over 100. So we have 104 member churches all across the United States and in 8 different countries, like John or David Barcelo in Spain, Charles Woodrow in Mozambique, brothers in Milan, Papua New Guinea, Indonesia. So 104 member churches, 35 individual members in the USA and 8 other countries. Fire has 2 annual conferences. The spring conference, like we went to in Rowlett, Texas, which is the international conference. And then also, because Fire wants to be an active membership of churches, there's also regional conferences, which are basically duplicates of the International Conference, except on a much smaller, intimate scale. The same thing that happens, I mean, they're just mirror images. The same thing that happens at an international conference is what happens at a regional conference. Namely, fellowship, preaching, church reports, missions reports. What a blessing it was to be in Rowlett, Texas, and to stand up for my 3 minutes at the FIRE conference this year. And I didn't give a great and glowing report of our church. I could have. I mentioned just briefly how God has blessed us at Grace Baptist Church, and He's blessed us with peace, and He's blessed us with unity. I mentioned that briefly. But then I was able to look out to a room full of FIRE pastors from all over the world and their wives and some of their deacons and some of their members and say, the thing that I would like for you to pray for us at Grace Baptist Church kind of boils down to one little fella, Ethan Paul Ellis. It wasn't a great big glow. I only had 3 minutes. But it was time to look at those fellow FIRE pastors and say, guys, we've been under the gun at Grace Baptist Church recently. We've been under the gun. We've got Tom McCullough with cancer, and then he had a perforated bowel and about lost his life. We had Grace Thomas's husband, Bud, who went in for a routine heart check and had to have immediate open heart surgery. We got little Ethan Paul Ellis, who, as I'm standing here before you this moment, his life is hanging in the balance. You had Sue Carr, life flighted just the day before to the hospital. That was a report. It was just a pastor's heart for his people, to fellow pastors, transparent. And then you know what happens after the report, when the report's over? Everything stops. And for the reports that were just given, we pray. There were hours and hours and hours. This was a 3-day conference. Carol, don't let me exaggerate. This was a 3-day conference. Would it be accurate to say that more than half of that time was spent in prayer for churches and missions? Yeah. Where churches all over the world were praying for Grace Baptist Church, and for after my report, people were able to pray for Ethan Ellis's life hanging in a balance. What a joy that was to be able to offer that report, and then that report being taken back to other FIRE churches. And that's the same thing that happens in regional meetings as well. These are the characteristics of a FIRE International Conference. Not big names. Almost never in a FIRE conference is there a rock star speaker. Almost never. Occasionally, there'll be some well-known rock star preacher. Eric was a member of FIRE for many years. Is that correct? Usually it's FIRE pastors. All the messages given at the FIRE conferences here were given by FIRE pastors. Most of those were guys from Texas, with the one exception, like I mentioned earlier. Same thing in the regional conference. This year, the Southeast Regional Conference, and we've hosted the Southeast Regional Conference twice at Grace Baptist, but this year, the Southeast Regional Conference will be held down in Coleman, Alabama, not too far from here, in Dean Olive's church, Madison, Alabama, close to Coleman, Alabama, but Madison, Alabama. Thank you, Carol. Dean Olive's church. We should pray for Dean this morning. Dean has had some health issues over the last couple of years, and is, as we speak, back in the hospital this morning for some observation and tests and so forth. So we should pray for Pastor Dean. He's a good man. The Lord willing, next year, the international conference will be in the Seattle, Washington area. And then in the fall, the Lord willing, the Southeast Regional Conference will be here again. We'll get a chance to host the FIRE Regional Conference here. And there'll be pastors from Alabama, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina. There aren't any FIRE churches in Kentucky at the moment. Arkansas. So right around, and that's always just a special time of doing what we do on a large scale, on a small scale here as well. One thing that characterizes FIRE is this little quote that sometimes is attributed to the early church father Augustine or Augustine. Some people say Augustine, some people say Augustine. It's sort of the motto of fire. In essentials, unity. There are some non-negotiables. There are certain evangelical truths that I mentioned earlier that are non-negotiables. And in those essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. We grant liberty in non-essentials. There are going to be some fire churches that are going to hold to the essentials of the Christian faith just like we do. But this morning, they're going to look a little different than we look. They're going to sound a little different than we look. They might have pews instead of chairs. They may not have lunch. They're going to dress a little. Some of those guys out on the West Coast, well, there are guys on the West Coast. You know what I mean? We love them. But in non-essentials, liberty, but in all things, charity. So in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and all things, charity. Pastor Carroll, I was not expecting you to be here this first hour this morning because of I've already told the congregation of a historic event that you're going to be engaged in a little later on, and I'm going to get to that in just a second, so don't blow that cover just yet. But not anticipating you being here, I was going to move on to just a brief little review on some Marriage Matters things. But since you're here, anything you want to add to you're actually there for the duration of the conference. Anything you want to add to the report? And I'll give you a microphone to do it. Do we have a microphone? Caleb's coming with it.
My appointment is only a mile away.
Okay.
And it's only, and I'm to be there at 10:30. So.
All right.
So we have to slip out.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed this year's Fire International. Gunny Hartman was the pastor of the church there, Providence Church, in Rowlett, Texas. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a suburb of Dallas, and beautiful area. It's very, very lovely. And Gunny made the fire conference especially nice. He and his congregation, they were all wearing red and white volunteer fire department shirts. They were the Providence Volunteer Fire Department. All of them were volunteers. And the fire wasn't like a fire department. It was a FIRE department.
Right.
Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals. And so you could see all these fire department guys running around. And Gunny, our host, really, I was endeared to his heart and spirit while he was there. He did a very good job, and it made it a very, very good time. The preaching was wonderful. I mean, it led off with Rick Anderson and then others during the time, and then finished up with Jason Dorcha. And oh my goodness, every man preached their hearts out. And it was a beautiful time of preaching and a beautiful time of fellowship. I delighted in all of the facets of the fire conference this year. Was refreshed by it. Me being the mayor sort of has stopped me from being at fire conferences in the last 4 or 5 years. But the renewal of it was very refreshing to me. And so we are thankful for the opportunity to go to fire. Fire was great. In 2019, and counted it as a great blessing.
I wanted to allow for a few minutes to see if any of you wanted to ask any questions, either about the conference or fire in general, or Grace Baptist Church's involvement in fire. Right? Okay, good. Steve Thomas? And I'll try to answer it if I can.
I'm just a little curious about you had 104 churches that are members. What are the 35 individuals? What is that?
Yeah, good. Glad you had 35 individuals. And there used to be a ton of individual members of FIRE, all right? So an individual, that's a great question. An individual member of FIRE might be, he has to be an officer in a church, an elder or a deacon in a church. And that could be a church we've all known these churches where there's a man, maybe he's come to the doctrines of grace. He's come to Reformed theology. And he's in a church that's just not on that page. You know, that happened in Grace Baptist Church many, 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 many years ago. We weren't a Reformed Baptist church. And there was this theological evolution that brought us to where we are today. There's always room for improvement. But here's a guy, and he's that guy. Maybe he's fresh out of seminary. He's taking his first church, and it's not a Reformed Baptist church. And he's getting beat up and he's lonely and that kind of thing. And there's, his church couldn't even talk about TULIP or the solace or that kind of thing. But he needs some solace and some fellowship and some camaraderie. And he can join Fire as an individual member. That's what that is. Right? And he's going to be welcomed and brought in and loved on and helped along the way and that kind of thing. And then some of our missionaries are also individual members as well. Now, in the last several years, one thing we've done on the board is we've scratched a lot. I mean, there used to be a huge amount more of individual members. But honestly, there were kind of guys that were saying, I want a means to network me. And I'm not really interested in being an active part of Fire. I just want some means to network me. And they would never come to the conferences. They would never come to the regional conferences, international conferences. And we kind of, that's why we only have 35, because we've just kind of weaned those guys out and say, we want an active membership in our fellowship. Ted, Mike's behind you. Thank you, Mike.
I was going to say, Baruch Maoz is still a
Baruch Maoz, one of our missionaries in Fire, right. Baruch wasn't there this year, but he was there. He was at our international last year. Right. Yeah, Baruch Moe is one of our missionaries. He's also in Fire. Any question you might have about our involvement or... Okay, well, I want to end this report this morning by saying this to you. If you are willing, as a member of Grace Baptist Church, maybe someone could, in our Wednesday night prayer meetings, maybe on our first Wednesday when we pray for missions or something like that, maybe one of you could say, let's remember to pray for Fire, the Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals, because I would love to see us as a church just be more mindful of the fact. I don't want it to be just a pastor's thing. Church members are invited to go to these international regional conferences. Sometimes you'll have a church there and you'll have a couple of elders, a couple of deacons, even just some church members that have come to be a part of the Fire conference. So certainly I know when we have the region, we encourage you to be here for the evening meetings and that kind of thing. But if you think about it, if you're willing to, what if we just sort of made an effort to amp up or ramp up a little bit our corporate awareness of the fact that our church, our little bitty church here in Hartsville, and thank God we're not just an isolated little bitty church here, but that we are part of this pretty vast fellowship of churches, and that's a good blessing for us. All right, let's take a couple of minutes here and just a couple really to go change gears just for a second. We didn't get a chance to do any review on this week for last week's lesson, but what would you, anybody want to comment on what we mean when we read in Genesis 2:24 and we're talking about setting the foundation page and the blueprint page for marriage? How that Genesis 2:24, with that pointer phrase and that bridge phrase, for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. How does that do those two things, where that particular statement, that verse, looks back to all the Lord God has just said and done in designing marriage, and then it looks forward to every person who ever will be joined in marriage. Not every person will be joined in marriage, but certainly Genesis 2:24 sets the direction for every person who will be married. Can anybody comment on how that does that? Looks back and looks forward from the lesson last week. No volunteers. Okay, so we see how that passage where God formed a man, then he formed a woman, brought them together, and then gives this historical injunction. A man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. All right, and that sets the pattern for all marriages in the future. And then we looked at four forever foundation factors based on Genesis 2:24. Four forever foundation factors. Can anybody give me one? Doesn't have to be in order. What those were? That marriage is a blank relationship, a blank relationship, a blank relationship, a blank relationship. Who said that? Lily, good job. Thank you. It's a heterosexual relationship. God made, he formed a man, he formed a woman, he brought those together. And by God's forever design, marriage is a heterosexual relationship. It was mentioned to me last week, I just want to say this publicly. It was mentioned to me last week that maybe I misspoke in speaking about what the House of Representatives had done in H.R. 5 and passing through the House of Representatives that law. It was mentioned to me that I might have said that that was a unanimous vote. And if I said that, I did not mean to say that. That would be misspeaking. It was not a unanimous vote. It was a majority vote, but it wasn't a unanimous vote. So I just want to clarify that if I led someone astray with an inaccurate statement about that. It did pass the House, but not in a unanimous way. There were lots of people who didn't vote for it and that kind of thing. But it is a heterosexual relationship. All right, what was another one? Monogamous. Is that what you were going to say, Marla? Okay, all right. So it's a monogamous relationship. One man, one woman. Someone else say one? Okay, exclusive relationship. All others excluded in the sense that a husband and a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. In that sense, it's an exclusive relationship. And then we said it was a permanent relationship as well. And the man and woman shall cleave to one another, and the two shall become one flesh, be bonded together. Strong word, bonded together emotionally, obviously bonded together physically, bonded together spiritually, bonded together financially. In every sense of the word, one flesh. So we said in God's math, in marriage, one plus one equals one. His math's different. All right, so before Carol leaves, here's the historical event that Carol is going to be engaged in here in just a few moments. In just a few moments, Pastor Carol is going to leave here, and he is going to go preach. How many hundreds of times has Pastor Carol preached here and other places? Pastor Carol is going to preach at First Baptist Church in Hartsville. That is an historical event. Decades ago, unintentionally, Grace Baptist Church was a split off of First Baptist Church in our community. Harold Carman, godly young pastor, was the pastor there at First Baptist, Carol and Daryl's brother. And Harold was the pastor there at First Baptist, serving the Lord faithfully there. As was so often the case 35 years ago, the Southern Baptist Convention was trending in quite a liberal direction. And Harold saw some things that just made him realize, you know, I'm a real evangelical. I'm going to believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. I'm going to hold to these Bible truths. And it just wasn't really feasible for him to stay in that setting. So he didn't mean for there to be a church split. He just had to resign as pastor from that particular situation. And almost unintentionally, some people said, Harold, wherever you are, that's where we're going to be on Sunday morning. And Hartsville Christian Fellowship was formed out of that time. And for most of the life of Hartsville Christian Fellowship, it was known as the Carman Church in town. It was the Carman Church. There was Harold, and there was Carol, and there was Daryl, and it was the Carman Church. And recently, Daryl Turner, good man, good pastor. Daryl Turner has been the pastor at First Baptist Church for 12, 15 years, something like that over there. And we really love and appreciate Daryl. But Daryl recently resigned, and they're looking for a pastor. And one of the deacons approached a pastor of Grace Baptist Church for the first time in over 30-some-odd years to come and to preach at First Baptist Church Hartsville. And Carol's going to be there this morning preaching. How you feel about that? Well, I want to suspend. You've got to leave to get there by 10:30. I want to suspend just a couple of minutes in prayer for you. Brothers, you go and face this historical moment. So I'll ask Matt to pray, if you would, Matt, and then I'll follow you and pray. Let's just pray for Carol as the Lord would meet him. And we have wanted to be bridge builders through these years, and this is even a greater way to build a bridge to that group of believers over there up the street. So I'll follow you, Matt, okay?
Praise you for an opportunity to find unity in the body of believers.
Amen.
Within our community.
Amen.
That would be would point to your glory.
Yeah.
Kingdom growing. Mm.
Amen. Amen. Lord, I offer my amen this morning to my brother's prayer for our brother. Thank you for this providential appointment. Thank you for this historical moment. Again, just saying amen to all that Matt has prayed for grace. We pray for Carol that you will quicken him by your Spirit this morning. If I were in his shoes, I would be nervous. If I were in his shoes, I would be apprehensive. All those kinds of things. We pray that you'll meet him by your Spirit, that you'll give clarity to his words and clarity to the message, and that your people there will hear your word, even as your people hear your word this morning from Pastor Chris, and that your blessing will in every way, Heavenly Father, attend the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Carol, we're glad you're going to preach, but don't accept a call to go there and be their preacher or anything this morning, okay? All right, okay. We'll be dismissed. Let's be dismissed for a time of fellowship and coffee.